Encourage you to, if you hear one that perks your interest, you can look it up later on. But for now, I'm just going to read several of them. And again, I won't read each chapter and verse as I'm reading. I'm just going to read this whole collection of Proverbs. And again, we're still looking at what Proverbs has to say about communication and how words have power, both for good or for evil. And we saw the last couple of times the importance of listening and also of speaking wise words. And today we're going to look at what Proverbs has to say about foolish words, those ways of speaking that are dishonoring to God and harmful to others, and ultimately are self-destructive. And so with that in mind, let me read some of these Proverbs that are dealing with foolish words. Again, this is not an exhaustive list. It's more of a sample to whet your appetite for what Proverbs has to say about the way we talk to one another. So hear the word of the Lord. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will perish. Be not a witness against your neighbor without cause, and do not deceive with your lips. A truthful witness saves lives. The one who breathes out lies is deceptive. A man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a war club, or a sword, or a sharp arrow. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death. What is desired in a man is steadfast love, and a poor man is better than a liar. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are His delight. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and the stone will come back on him who starts it rolling. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, "I am only joking." For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. A worthless man plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. Do not slander a servant to his master, lest he curse you and you be held guilty. A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Whoever rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue. A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. Like the glaze covering an earthen vessel are fervent lips with an evil heart. Let another praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. Fools mock at the guilt offering, but the upright enjoy acceptance. Whoever mocks the poor insults his maker. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. Whoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. The wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool brings ruin near. A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness breathes out lies. An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. Thus ends the reading of God's Word. Now let's go to Him in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank You for another opportunity to sit underneath Your Word and to hear from You. We pray that Your Holy Spirit will work mightily this morning, taking Your Word to those depths of our hearts that it needs to go. And we pray as You do that needed heart surgery this morning, that You would help us to hold still and to listen to what You have to say to us about the way we speak. We pray for those also who cannot be here this morning due to illness, and pray that You would be with them and grant them recovery, and that You would bless them with Your Word at home as they seek to study it there. And we do pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'll begin this sermon the same way I began last week, with Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. And we saw last time how the tongue can bring life and healing through wise words, but the tongue can also bring death. As much as we don't like to talk about our faults, we can't avoid it. Okay, God reveals these sins to us in order to heal us from them and to conform us more and more into the image of Christ. And like a good doctor, God points out the disease in order to provide the cure. And so as you look at these sinful ways of speaking, don't resist the Holy Spirit. If He brings something to your attention, confess these things to God, seek the healing offered to you in Christ, and seek to undo the damage that you've done with your words. So as I study this theme this morning of foolish words in Proverbs today, I just want to focus on two main points. We'll look at the types of foolish words and then the consequences of foolish words. Okay, the types of foolish words and the consequences of foolish words. And my hope for you today is that you will become more aware of the way you speak to one another, and also to better recognize what foolish words indicate about your character or the character of someone else. And as a church, we're called to love and speak truth and to become those who love it and to be faithful witnesses in a culture where words have become tools to manipulate and to deceive. So with that in mind, let's look at our next point, and that is the types of foolish words. And the types of foolish words. And remember that the Proverbs was written to prepare teenagers or young adults for adulthood. And an important part of adult life is learning how to communicate with others and understanding how the way one speaks can reveal a lot about his character. And so Solomon provided a lot of instruction about the nature of communication. Proverbs is full of warnings about what I'm calling today foolish words. Like foolish words are spoken against the good of our neighbor or the glory of God. Foolish words may be spoken with great skill in themselves, but in the end, they are intended to hurt and to destroy, and therefore they are ultimately foolish. And foolish words are destructive, and ultimately they are self-destructive. And so it is important to learn not only how to speak wisely, but also how to avoid foolish words. And Proverbs gives us several examples of foolish words. And let's look at some of those examples. First, there are what we may call hasty words. Like hasty words. And I mentioned this last time when we looked at wise words, how they must be carefully restrained and constructed. But it's good to remember how hasty words can be foolish. Proverbs 29:20 says, "Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him." And if you rush to speak or speak without thinking, you are almost a hopeless case. And a man who rushes to speak is usually a man who is unteachable. He has an answer for everything, whether he's right or not. He never exercises any discretion in what he says. But the wise man speaks differently. Proverbs 12:23, for example, says, "A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly." A prudent man speaks with discretion. He doesn't broadcast his knowledge for all to see. He is patient and speaks at the appropriate time. But the fool proclaims his mind freely, without any thoughts to how it's received. So hasty words are often foolish words, even if the words are technically true. Now, another category of foolish words is bearing false witness or lying. The ninth commandment says you shall not bear false witness. And Proverbs provides many illustrations about that commandment. The strict meaning of bearing false witness refers to lying under oath, especially in a legal context. And Proverbs 19:9 says, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will perish. And God guarantees that one who lies under oath will face the consequences, either in this life or the next. God provided governments and courts to help administer justice in this fallen world. And if you corrupt the process of justice with your false testimony, not only can someone get hurt, but you could hurt the entire community in the long run. Proverbs 14:25 says, a truthful witness saves lives. The one who breathes out lies is deceitful. Or again in Proverbs 25:18, a man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a war club or a sword or a sharp arrow. False witness destroys the possibility of proper justice. It causes the innocent to suffer and the wicked to go free. And justice is an important emphasis in Proverbs. A community cannot trust its authorities if it allows false witnesses to corrupt the judicial process. So you must be careful if you testify against your neighbor. Proverbs 24:28 says, be not a witness against your neighbor without cause, and do not deceive with your lips. Now, if you have a conflict with your neighbor, it can be very tempting to get revenge by lying about them in court and taking advantage of their difficult situation. But a wise man will not speak against his neighbor, even the one he doesn't like, unless he can provide actual evidence for the case. And Christians want proper justice to be done, even for those whom they have conflicts with. This is one way Christians are salt and light in a community. They are concerned for justice, even if it means defending an enemy as innocent when he truly is. This is especially important to fight for in our own age, when court cases are put on trial in the media or on the internet. And if you ever run across a discussion like that or a show talking about a case, just turn the channel. Don't listen. Christians will let the courts do their job and not participate in a lynching by the media. We want justice to be done in every case. But avoiding false witness and lying goes beyond the court. Every situation where you are making oaths or promises, from marriage to business transactions, or even in regular conversation with your neighbors, you are called to speak truthfully and to keep your word. Proverbs 21:6 says, the getting of treasure by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death. And Proverbs 19:22, what is desired in a man is steadfast love, and a poor man is better than a liar. Now, that word for steadfast love means covenant faithfulness. It means that you keep your covenants and contracts faithfully, even if you can make more money by breaking that contract. And this forbids entering into contracts deceitfully in order to profit by hurting your partner. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are His delight. And keeping your word is more important than getting rich or powerful. If you make your money through deception and broken promises, it won't be long before your reputation is destroyed. Everyone will see you for the fraud that you are. Proverbs 26 and verse 27 says, whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and a stone will come back on him who starts it rolling. And Solomon made that warning in the context of the way you speak. When you lie, it is not only destructive to others around you, but ultimately it is self-destructive. Proverbs 26:18 says, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I'm only joking. Right? It's destructive. And God will ensure that truth will always prevail in the end. Proverbs 12:19 says, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. That's important to remember, that whenever you speak, you're always speaking before the court of God, even if you're not at that moment in the court of man. Now, another category of foolish words is gossip and slander. Okay, gossip and slander. Slander is deliberately lying or deceiving others about someone's character or motives. You make accusations or ask questions in such a way as to create doubt about their reputation. Sometimes slander is a deliberate lie. Sometimes slander is spoken just out of suspicion. You can't prove it's true, but you think it is. And so you let the world know. But gossip is when you spread rumors, whether true or false, which could also damage someone's reputation. And slander and gossip, they often go together. Slander is usually the initial attack, and gossip is usually the instrument through which slander is spread and exaggerated into the community. And but Proverbs points out the destruction that gossip and slander can do. Proverbs 26:20 says, for lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. And gossip and slander create or expand conflict. That's one reason why you may do it. You want someone's reputation or plans to be destroyed. But ultimately, these foolish words do more damage than you intend. Listen to Proverbs 11:12. It says, whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Listen to Proverbs 16:27. A worthless man plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. Now, all too often, the fire started by your slander and gossip will come back to burn you. And so the wise man will not gossip or slander. He will keep things quiet because of the destructive potential of words. He won't make or spread accusations he can't prove. And when he must make an accusation, he follows the appropriate channels to resolve that conflict. He doesn't engage in character assassination. When he hears rumors about his neighbor, he doesn't pass them on, even if it may hurt the neighbor he doesn't like. And a wise man wants truth to prevail in all times, not lies. Now, another category of foolish words is flattery. Flattery is when you compliment or praise someone in order to manipulate them. Right? You butter them up so you can use them or abuse them. Proverbs 29:5 says, a man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. This is especially important for young adults to learn. Young adults have very little life experience, and so you are vulnerable to flattery. People will praise you with kind words in order to lead you astray or to take advantage of you. Now, we all like to be praised and accepted by others, and that love of praise can leave us vulnerable to deception. And Proverbs 26:28 says, a lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Or in verse 23, like the glaze covering an earthen vessel are fervent lips with an evil heart. And flattery may not only be used for evil, but it can also be used to avoid confronting evil. Proverbs 28:23 says, whoever rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue. And often, we don't want to hurt our friend's feelings with appropriate criticism. Or we think it's better just to puff them up with compliments than to warn them of danger. But how would you feel if you were doing something dangerous or hurtful, and your friend saw it but never warned you? A careful rebuke over the long run will win favor over superficial flattery. And really, when you're flattering your neighbor like that, you're really loving yourself more than your neighbor. And flattery also has the danger of puffing up your pride and tempting you to think more highly of yourself than you should. And just like lying and slander, flattery is self-destructive. You may win people's favor for a moment with your smooth words, but in the end, your motives will be found out, and no one will trust your words anymore. But flattery is also something we do for ourselves. We compliment or puff up ourselves to make us feel better about ourselves, and or we boast about ourselves to others. So Solomon says in Proverbs 27:2, "Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips." That flattery has no place in Christian vocabulary. When we offer praise to others, it should come from a sincere desire of the heart to build them up or to acknowledge the good that we see, and for no other reasons. The final form of foolish words that we'll look at today is mockery. And mockery is when you purposely ridicule or tear down someone or something. That's also called scoffing in Proverbs. So for example, Proverbs 14:9 says, "Fools mock at the guilt offering, but the upright enjoy acceptance." Or Proverbs 17:5, "Whoever mocks the poor insults his maker. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished." Or Proverbs 21:24, "Scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man who acts with arrogant pride." And mockery is rooted in pride, thinking of yourself as more important or worthy than someone else. If you look down on others and insult them or treat them with much less respect than they deserve. But when you mock someone or tear them down, you're not only mocking them, but mocking the God who made them. And He will hold you accountable for your foolish words and attitudes. So these are several types of foolish words. And hasty words, bearing false witness or lying, slander and gossip, flattery and mockery. And we could probably find more in Proverbs, but these are kind of the main categories that are there. And then I should just point out briefly that all that Proverbs has to say about our verbal speech also applies to our written or electronic speech as well. Whether social media or texting or the cable news show, we are called to avoid and to reject foolish words. A gossip or slander on Facebook is still gossip or slander. Right? That brings us in to our next point. That is that the consequences of foolish words. And the consequences of foolish words. And I've already mentioned some consequences. Proverbs is a very practical book. It outlines the consequences of sin, not only in the terms of dishonoring and disobeying God, but also shows us the negative impact that sin has on your own soul and on your relationships. We should avoid foolish words, ultimately, because we are disobeying and dishonoring the wise and truth-loving God who made us and redeemed us. We're breaking His law and insulting His divine nature as a God of truth and justice. As the redeemed, as those reconciled to God again, we are called to reflect the nature of God and His truth with our own words. Your baptism should remind you to avoid foolish words. You have the name of God upon your head. I have been set apart to live in His holy community where truth and wise words are the native language. How you speak not only reflects upon you, but upon the reputation of the triune God who you claim to worship. And so one consequence of foolish words is that through them we disobey and dishonor God. But what are some other consequences? Well, another consequence of foolish words is that it reveals what is in your heart. It reveals what is in your heart. Proverbs makes a strong connection between your character and the way you speak. And Jesus taught the same thing. We said in Matthew 15:18, "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart." And foolish words reveal a foolish heart. A heart with no concern to love God and neighbor with our words. And just notice some examples of this character connection. In Proverbs 26:24, it says, "Whoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred may be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly." And do you hear the connection there? Deceptive words come from a deceptive heart. Hateful words come from a hateful heart. Lying words come from a lying heart. Proverbs 14:5 says, a faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness breathes out lies. And you can use this truth to examine your own heart. When you lash out with hateful words, or when you lie or deceive, that wasn't an accident. You chose those foolish words in the heat of the moment because you have a sinful heart. And when God shows you your sinfulness through your words, that is an opportunity to get on your knees before God, to seek forgiveness and cleansing from that sinful impulse in your heart. You need His grace to change you and to help you grow more honest and wise with your words. But this connection between foolish words and character can also help you identify who you can trust and who you should avoid. And this is especially important to learn as a young adult. When you see someone being deceptive, that is not just an isolated incident. That act of deception reveals the tip of the sinful iceberg within. When he turns to speak graciously to you, you shouldn't believe him or trust him. That's not a man to make a close friend. Or if a coworker is gossiping about so many other people with you, you should ask yourself, well, what is he saying about me when I'm not around? Now, sometimes you can't avoid working with someone of questionable character. But if you are aware of his capacity for deception or gossip, you can keep your guard up about what you share with him and recognize how much or how little you can trust his word. And so foolish words reveal the foolish and sinful heart. And this connection of foolish words to character not only applies to those who speak foolish words, but to those who willingly receive those words. Proverbs 17:4 says, an evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. A lying heart doesn't just speak lies, it listens to the lies as well. It prefers to hear that language. Slander and gossip appeal to our sinful nature. We love to have the secret information or the inside story. We love to know the dirt in someone's lives. And Proverbs 26:22 says, the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. And your love for lies and gossip also shows the wickedness of your own heart. So both speaking and listening to those foolish words reveals the foolish and sinful heart within. Another consequence of foolish words is that it destroys credibility. Whether it's your own reputation or the reputation of a government or a business or a courtroom, foolish words destroy people's willingness to trust in you or that institution. Foolish words corrupt the social and political order and promote a culture of skepticism. Have you noticed how much longer that sales contracts have gotten in the last 50 years? Well, it's because people find loopholes. They find ways to deceive and get around the honest and plain meaning of the word. And so people have to add more and more fine print to hold you to your word. We have fact checkers now. Whenever a politician makes a speech, because we expect them to lie or to twist the truth. And ultimately, that skepticism toward authority can be turned upon the Word of God itself, especially when leaders in the church prove to be deceptive with their words. Our foolish words destroy credibility, and it can take a long time to rebuild trust and undo the damage to your reputation. A final consequence I'll mention today is that foolish words destroy relationships. And they destroy relationships. And I think I've made that point already throughout the sermon, but it's important to reinforce it again. Proverbs 16:28 says, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. And when you trust, when your trust is broken by your foolish words, it takes a long time to repair that relationship, if repair is even possible. I'm sure many of you can remember times of betrayal, where either you or your friend betrayed the other with foolish words. And what happens to those relationships? When you engage in these foolish words, whether it's hasty speech or something more deceptive or sinister, it destroys your relationships and your ability to enjoy life in a loving community. And so we've seen from Proverbs the types of foolish words and the consequences of foolish words. And I hope it's helped you become more aware of the way you speak to one another and to recognize and to avoid those foolish words, both in yourself and in others. Now let me just close with this comment. I spent a lot of time today describing foolish and destructive ways of speaking. And the tendency in our proud hearts is to say, well, I'm going to try harder to be better. And to make some hasty resolutions, which you'll forget tomorrow. And if you walk away today with that mindset, you've missed the point about why all this teaching is here about foolish words. And God speaks His Word not only to show us how to live, but to show us our need for Him. God speaks this truth from His Word to shine the light, not only on your sin, but on the idols of your heart, which drive that sin. In the heat of the moment, why do you lie? Why do you deceive? Why do you slander and gossip? Well, often it's because you want the approval of other people. You want people to think well of you, even if it's just a lie for the moment. Maybe you want money or power, even pleasure, so much that you're willing to lie in order to get it. Maybe you want revenge against your neighbor and you're willing to slander him in order to give him what he deserves. And foolish words are driven by a heart that loves something else more than the Lord. A heart that has trapped itself in bondage to sin. And the only thing that will free you from that slavery to foolish words is the truth of the gospel. Rather than taking in those delicious morsels of gossip, you need to take in the wholesome good news of Christ. While you offered your lips and ears to foolish words, God offered you salvation in His Son. While you killed people's character out of your hatred, Jesus suffered the penalty you deserved out of love for you. In Christ, you are truly loved freely and honestly without any deception. God sees all your sin inside and out and still chooses to show mercy and set His love upon you. God made promises and kept those promises and sealed those promises with the blood of His Son. And if you find yourself heavy laden with the guilt and pollution of your foolish and destructive words, Christ invites you to come and find rest. Rest from that need to impress people. Rest from that longing to be praised and approved by others. Rest from that desire to always be better than the man next to you. In Christ, you find full and free forgiveness and acceptance and grace to grow up into a wise man with wise words. In Christ, you have that freedom and security to honestly confess your sins rather than to try and cover them up. In Christ, you can lay aside all your attempts to manipulate other people to get what you want. Because you have a Father who provides you everything you need. In Christ, you see the greater glory and beauty and majesty of God, and that outshines all the fear of what man can do or what he can offer you. And the church is called to be the redeemed community on earth, where truth and wisdom reign, where truthful witnesses illustrate the power of God's true words to change lives, and in the midst of a culture where words are merely tools for selfishness and destruction. And so may the Lord revive and change our hearts into those who love and honor God and our neighbors with our words. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do come before You humbled by Your Word. We know that all of us are guilty of these sins in one form or another. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to bring these things to mind as we go about our lives this week, that we would be more sensitive to the way we speak and desire to honor You and to love You with our words, to be compassionate and merciful to our neighbors, and to be concerned for truth to be done, not just to defend or try to defend our own honor, our own pleasure or power. We pray that You would change our hearts to become more and more like Christ so that we can be more trustworthy not only with each other, but with the neighbors around us who do not yet know Christ. We ask for your truth to prevail in our hearts and minds, and that we may shine gloriously for you. We pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.